Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex. This is a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like a dominatrix school, but we have the original Miss Kane.
Oh, truly a surprise. Oh, how delightful.
Delightful. My name is Bibi Lynch.
And I am the original Mistress Kane. Okay, Bibi, who have we got coming up today?
Well, we got Sophie Cohen, and you know Sophie. Sophie is the headmistress of House of Vixens, and she's also teaching at the London Dominatrix School.
My name is Sophie Cohen. I am the creative director and head vixen at House of Vixens.
Welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, founder and creative director of House of Vixens and teacher at the London Dominatrix School. It's Sophie Cohen.
Hi.
Glowing Sophie Cohen.
If only you could see through radio, right?
Oh, right. I'm glad they can't. I'm livid. I'm livid, damn you. How have you been?
I am just so happy to be able to be out in the world and teaching people how to do kinky things again. So that's been great. I'm loving that.
Has everything you do been impacted? I mean, it must have been.
Yes, deeply. Yeah. So in COVID, so when I met you guys last time, we were doing our live show, and then we were just about to launch into a new live show that was like big with producers, which was really exciting for me because I self-produced everything before that. And then COVID hit. So that never happened. So we actually transitioned into doing film. And so we did a interactive film experience for New Year's Eve to end the worst year in living memory called La Petite Mort, where you could burn everything to the ground. So, and that was super successful. So yeah, so that's been great. And then we ended up also doing some online stuff for London Dominatrix School. So I've pivoted that way, but I'm an in-life person. So yeah. I'm really enjoying being able to be back around other human beings again.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this. So House of Vixens, oh my God. The House of Vixens site is so hot. Oh my God, I actually felt movement.
Thank you.
First time in a long time. So
that is what I'm trying to do.
There was action, something. I mean, it could have been cystitis. I don't think it was, but there was definitely movement. So for people that don't know, and I can't believe there's anyone out there, tell us what House of Vixens is.
So House of Vixens is a collective of women, and we are erotic performance artists. And everything we do is about telling these beautiful erotic vignettes through dance and choreography and now film. So we did a lot of live shows in very beautiful, intimate spaces. And it was all about getting really up and close next to people, very interactive and immersive. And now we are transitioning that into a film space and how you do that in a way that still touches people. And the fact that I moved you online makes me really excited.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really, really sexy. What's your aim for House of Vixens?
I mean, for me, it's my artistic expression. So my background, I'm self-taught in everything. I worked as a stripper. I worked as a pro dominatrix. So I very much have always lived in this kind of subversive space. I also did like drama school as a kid. So all that money my parents spent really went to good use. So it's always been about approaching sexuality in a way that makes people think a little bit. And, you know, and what I really want is for people to have good sex lives and to feel empowered, especially women. And I just hope that when couples and women come into our spaces, that's how they feel. And that's the feedback we've always gotten. So really, I'm Jewish. I like to host. So it's just like an extension, but in like a sex way where I'm like, have you eaten enough? Have you fucked enough? How can I help? I don't actually fuck people who come to my shows, by the way. Point that out. But I'm inspiring you to fuck other people or yourself.
There's a chopped liver joke, and I can't even find it. I know it's there somewhere. I can't even find it. This is so hilarious.
If it comes back, I want to hear it.
How long has House of Vixens been going?
So we were originally House of Kittens. And we decided in the pandemic that we just needed to not be baby cats anymore. It was a name I came up with when I was 23, and maybe I was a bit kittenish at the time. And I don't feel so kitteny anymore. So vixen felt more like what we wanted to be. And it also is a term for like a bitch. And I definitely think like more women should take that on board because we should be like stronger and bitchier. And
embrace
so
it.
Embrace it. So House of Vixens is quite a new incarnation of what we've been doing, but House of Kittens and what I've been doing has been around for about 9 years.
Yeah. And who is your audience?
Mostly women and couples. So, you know, it's quite funny. Every time we have people from theater land come in and watch what we do, they get very serious and they say like, oh, it's the objectification of women. And, you know, like this is clearly for the male gaze. And I'm like, really? Because it's all created by women. And if you look around the room, it's all women. And the only men who are here have been brought into the space by their women. So yeah, we hardly have any single men who come to our shows. If they do, they're super welcome. And, you know, as long as you're not an asshole, you're always welcome at our shows. But we really do attract a very feminine audience. A lot of gay guys like what we do. We have drag queen hosts. The fabulous Daisy Poehler is our wonderful host, S with the most S. So we get a nice little crowd from that as well. And yeah, it just, it tends to be also like, our demographic is very wide. So from like seven, our biggest fans are this couple. I've never really got them to talk to me. They come in full leather and they're like there before anybody else is there. And they watch the show and then they leave immediately. And I tried to chat to them once. They weren't really interested, but I think they go home and fuck. So that's great.
And how old are they?
They're about 75.
Oh, I love this.
Well, you know, like I'm all about like everybody should be embracing their sexuality. And whatever that means for you.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from San Francisco. So obviously in an embracing sexuality place. Yeah. And I was really lucky to be raised in a very bohemian artistic household. My parents love my stripper stories and dominatrix stories and are very supportive and have flown over to come and see my shows. And my dad didn't quite get it. He's like, am I tipping people? I'm like, no, it's not a strip club. And yeah, he's very funny, like crazy Jewish man. And he's a jazz drummer and my mom's an artist. And I was really lucky. So I want to like share that with everybody, that just being cool.
So why did you come here to make all this? Did you feel that you had to come here to do it?
No, I came here at 18. My mother is actually originally from London. And so I had just had been obsessed as a child that I was going to move to London. I think I thought that I was going to be able to wear like Regency dresses. I don't know why, how that got into my head. I was very disappointed when I found out that wasn't the case. Although if I lived in Shoreditch, I probably still.
Yeah, yeah, you got the chance.
Fuck it. I'm going to wear a Regency dress. And I just loved it. I loved London. I loved the sort of freedom of it. I lived in Shoreditch like 20 years ago when it was not stupid.
Yeah.
So it just felt really fresh and new. And I just ended up staying. I didn't think about it. Loads of people said to me, oh, that was so brave. I'm like, no, just 18 and stupid and not really like thinking about how I wouldn't move now. I'm like, is there a Waitrose? I don't.
Yeah.
I moved to Palmer's Green recently from Bounds Green and that freaked me out. It's like 10 minutes from each other. Like, so I don't think I'm as adventurous anymore.
Oh my God, Shoreditch. So I used to work in Shoreditch late 80s.
Wow.
That was
cowboy land then.
It was cowboy land. And it was just getting, so like Gary Hume, Damien Hirst, I was at Strong Room Studios, like the greatest recording studio on earth. So all these like really cool little kind of pockets of brilliance and, but still not crazy rents, still hadn't gone. It was fantastic. Bass Clef was there.
Yeah. Supportive of artists, right? You know, so when I first went there, it was very supportive of the arts and you could really explore what that meant. And I've just always been obsessed with anything to do with sex. I, you know, like before I even knew what it was, I remember I had an aunt and she had the Tarts bathroom, she called it. And all around the top of it, there was like little naked ladies and people fucking each other. And I was just like, spend like loads of time in there being like, wow, that's great. I don't know what's happening, but I'd like to be part of that. So this has just always been my total fascination.
Let me ask you something. So because I am sex positive in that I talk about, thank you so much. You know, I write about sex, I talk about sex, you know, and I've done that for a lot of my career. Do you find, are you very open with people about what you do? There's no reason on earth why you shouldn't be, Because I find that because I am sex positive in print and maybe in broadcast, that seems to blur the consent lines for a lot of men. So I will get really, like, so I got a DM this weekend
<Pray tell. laughs>
from a bloke asking about wedges if I want to have a wedgie and if I want to have an atomic wedgie. I don't even know what an atomic wedgie is.
Is he 12?
No. It's like, and if you say, oh, actually, that's inappropriate. I haven't given you any kind of consent for that. It's like, well, I thought you were, you know, I thought you were broad-minded. Suddenly that's your problem. So do you get that kind of attitude to you?
So although right now I feel so welcoming and friendly, I can kind of put on a don't fuck with me vibe quite quickly. And I think probably working in the dominatrix space helps me with that quite a lot. So, I mean, there's not a lot that people can say to me that I'm going to be shocked by or bothered by. I never really get DMs. I kind of hide behind House of Vixens, right? So right. House of Vixens, so people don't know me. They don't know Sophie Cohen. Maybe if I was more out there as like, hi, this is who I am, I might get more people asking me if I want a wedgie. And then I would ask them if they want a fisty. I don't know. How is there a trade? Do I get to do something to you that you don't want to happen?
And on a bank holiday as well, Sophie. Timing.
It's a little rude.
Outrageous.
But it's also ridiculous because, like, no, of course I don't want a fucking wedgie.
So listen, so tell me, so you said House of Vixen has moved, House of Vixens has moved into film. So what kind of stuff are you doing?
Well, at the moment we are currently working on funding for a new project, which is going to be a reincarnation of Amatory Asylum, but we want to do this in an interactive space. And we want to really approach these interesting, you know, dichotomies between gays, right? Because it's something that's been brought up a lot. As far as, you know, when we get our critiques and stuff of people who don't understand what's behind this, don't understand that it's like a completely female company and we're all creating this and are gays. And I think that is a very difficult thing for people to understand is like, if you find something beautiful and sexy, immediately it's thought of that it is for men. Yeah. And it's sort of to me like an internalized misogyny that you think that anytime you want to look good, you know, like it's not just like, oh, I hope a guy sees me.
Yeah.
You know, so I find that quite a strange thing. And so we really want to approach interactive film in a new and exciting way, because a lot of interactive film is just really shit where it will like stop in the middle and be like, do you want to go left or right? And you're like, is this a video? Why? I hate technology that interrupts story. Like, I only like technology that enhances what you're already doing, or gimmicks and things like that. So it's like, if it doesn't make what you're doing more interesting, then you shouldn't do it. So we're looking at how we can do that with interactive film, and also to create these really beautiful, intimate spaces that once were held in live spaces, but bring them into people's rooms. Cause I want to touch more people, literally and physically, but I want more people to see what we do. And I think that some people are a little shy to come to our shows, or they're too far away. And so we're just kind of going, well, with film, you know, our film that we did at New Year's was super successful and we had such a big uptake from that. And I think that there is a space for people to explore sexuality in a filmic space where you can be at home and do that. And we will still also do live shows as well.
I would love to come see one of your live shows.
Where I'm looking at that right now. I'm meeting with somebody on Thursday I don't want to self-produce anymore. So we are looking actively. If anybody's listening and would like to produce one of our shows, call me, because I just don't want to sell tickets. It kills you as an artist.
Can I say something? Yes. The Jewish in you, and I have a bit of Jewish in me. Will there be snacks at the live shows?
Is there ever not snacks?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm asking the question, hoping against this hope.
This is my biggest fear, is that people leave my house hungry. So
any of your house, the House of Vixens,
house of Vixens, my house. Yeah, it's
Palmer's Green Place.
I think this is a leftover. My grandmother survived the Russian Revolution, and she married a grocer, right? So she was just like, I will never be hungry again. And I do think that this is my theory, is that Jews are so obsessed with food because we were starving for a little while. It didn't go well. And so been the anxiety passed on. It's like, do you have enough to eat? Please have some more. I'd like you to feel a little sick after you leave my house.
Oh, well, what an image.
I know.
That's a beautiful image. So you're also doing, how have you got the time, lady? So you're House of Vixens, founder and creative director of House of Vixens, and you're teaching at the London Dominatrix School. Do both roles feed each other? Talking of food, do both roles feed each other?
You know, it's interesting. So obviously, you know, the pro-dom stuff definitely does. And I think that the way that feeds for me, and having worked in a striptease space, which is normally thought of as, I guess, more of a submissive space, even though it's not. And then a pro dominatrix space, which is always thought of as like obviously very femme dom space. I get to see power plays quite a lot. I get to see human nature, sexuality, people submitting to things, challenging themselves, challenging their boundaries. And that really inspires my creativity. And I love people and I love men and I love women, you know, so it's just, I think that there's always this kind of feeling of like the man hating sex worker or things like that. And that is so not me. I love male energy. I'm quite androgynous with my energy. Like I have quite a masculine edge to me as well. And so it's something that, yeah, just sort of feeds each other. And, but the biggest thing I love about teaching is making women feel good about themselves. And we have a lot of single women who come in who are a bit older, maybe just newly single, and are just like, I want to know how to do stuff. Like, I don't necessarily want to be a dominatrix or anything like that, but I want to be able to walk into a space and feel powerful. And, you know, there's nothing less powerful than like not knowing how to use a fucking nipple clamp, you know, and you're just like holding it and be like, I don't know, what do I do with this? You can't turn on the vibrator or whatever. And it just like kills it a little bit. And I love helping couples connect with each other. And that is something that in the stripper world and in the dominatrix world, I did all the time. I was like the couple queen because I just immediately hone in and I see them for who they are. And I want to help people connect with each other. And that's what performance is, you know?
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 38.
Are you? You look very young. I mean, 38 is young, but you do look very young. Damn you. Damn you and your skin.
All lighting.
I'm so envious and impressed by younger generation who really, and that's why I love that you just said that older women are coming into you.
Oh, yeah.
Because it, like my generation, we never, well, I've said this a million times on this podcast, the word consent did not exist. We never discussed, I still don't even discuss it. Actually, it's interesting. I don't discuss sex things with my peers so much.
Interesting.
And it's really, it just wasn't there. And now I love that the younger generation, they just explore everything. And this is like one positive of social media that I think people can find other like-minded people to find some strength in that. I mean, of course, there's a million negatives, but that's kind of something that seems to happen. But I'm so kind of happy to hear that older women are coming to you. That's brilliant.
I mean,
where are they getting that courage from?
Maybe seeing it out there. So the oldest woman that I gave pro dominatrix lessons to. So we have a course where it's like, if you want to monetize this and you want to be a pro dominant, we'll teach you everything, business studies, the whole lot, health and hygiene, you know, how to stay safe in the space, all that kind of stuff, you know, how to screen clients, just the practicals that are really important. She was 72 years old and she was like just fabulous. And she looked, do you remember those, what was that duo? And they used to go around and like poke people for like cleaning their house. And there was one and she's I think she's on Big Brother or something like that. I think maybe she didn't do well on Big Brother. I think maybe she's a bit Kim something. This lady was really nice, but she had like the bun, the whole thing. She had a great look. And she was like, you know, I always wanted to do this. My kids are super supportive, but my parents would have found it really challenging. So after they passed away, she came in and did the whole course. And she was, I mean, she was great. She's like, oh, I haven't touched a cock in years. She was like, so we have a school model that people can try things on, which is really nice for single women as well. So, you know, and he's like really professional poker face. So, you know, and so it means that like you can actually have, so it's one-to-one tuition. So you come in with me, I meet you where you are. There's no stupid questions. I think my like California vibe quite helps people feel like everything's going to be cool in this space. And it is, you know, and it's just like, what I want is for you to walk away being like, I know how to do shit. So when you go on dates or, you know, guys say something stupid, like, do you want an atomic wedgie? You can be like, do you want a massive dildo up your ass? I mean,
there's so much here that you're saying to me. I can't. Well, first of all, can you please show some respect to the future ex, Mr. BB? Because, I mean, I mocked him, but reader, listener, I married him.
We're in a relationship now.
I'm very, very serious. You've got an in-house model.
We do.
What a gig.
He's, you know what? It is what a gig because he's really good and patient and he gives really good feedback. So he was in the kink scene for many, many years. And he's like very cool, very chill, but he actually can give good feedback as well. He's not just some like weird guy who's like, yeah, I like this.
This is amazing. Does he get aroused?
No. He's like really professional. No. Super professional. It's quite funny. The only lesson that he can't quite keep a poker face on is electrics, because have you ever heard of electrics? I'm sure you have in your world, but I'll explain it to what people is. So we've got something that are called electrics, and they basically send like an electrical current. So, you know, it's called electrostim, right. Specifically for kink. And so, you know, the stuff that you like when people like, I don't want to do sit ups. So they just put those like pads on themselves.
Yeah, it's just
that, but for kink. So it's been like hijacked by kink. And then we've got violet wands, and that like does make you like jump a little bit. So he does jump a little bit, but other than that, he's super poker face, just gives you feedback.
When you first said poker face, I thought you said poker in the face. And I was like, well, that's not that professional. And now
not professional at all.
Not as professional as we'd like.
Unless you're consenting to that.
Unless, of course, it's what you want. So this Pro Dom course is one of the courses you're teaching at the London Dominatrix School.
Yeah.
You also teach kinky couples.
We do. So that's when a couple will come to me and I'll show them how to do stuff to each other. So everything in the London Dominatrix School is all about femdom. I actually also do private lessons myself. And this is for couples specifically, and also women and men if they want to come in, where I just teach them about kink and exploration and things like this. That's maybe a little bit less of, because domination is like, it's a very specific space in BDSM. And I just think that sexuality is much bigger than that. And so, you know, the London Dominatrix School brought me in to do that because I have a wealth of knowledge from many, many years personally and professionally in the space. And then I'm applying that now. So we are going to open up another little avenue for House of Vixens where couples and people can come to me personally with their specific needs, which might not be kinky. It might just be to connect, you know, and kink is very wide. It doesn't mean you have to slap each other and hit each other and hurt each other. You know, it can just be your communicating. And it's really hard, you know, as I have a lot of women who come to me who, you know, they've gone through menopause and then suddenly their sexuality has really changed, or you've had children or you've been locked in a fucking house together for a year with children and menopause, right? So, it will really kill, you know, it kills a lot of stuff. And so sometimes just having a third person there who's cool that you can talk to about anything is just very helpful, and helping people see what's beautiful about each other again is something I'm very passionate about.
I love this. And are the lessons one-on-one or couple and you, or is it several couples?
So there's other spaces that you can go to do sort of group classes.
Yeah.
I think it becomes very difficult, to be honest.
Yeah.
And what I really try and do is to create a really safe space to explore. And I always give people my background, you know, that, and also, you know, I think if I had been 24 trying to do this, it wouldn't really work out. You know, nobody wants a 24-year-old kid being like, this is how you touch your cousin's penis. Like, it's like, yeah, get the fuck away. So, you know, just being like not a child is quite helpful. And, you know, recently I've had like a couple come to see me. The woman she's young, she's 22, you know, and her partner is much older. And that's been a learning curve for me, because I'm like, wow, you're really like, don't know a lot of stuff yet. And he's quite naive as well. So it's like, I've had to kind of come down to where they are in a sexual space, because my experiences would freak them out. So it's like being able to be thoughtful enough to not like, you know, when you go to a good teacher and you're like, wow, they've really taught me interesting stuff. And then there's shit teachers who are like, this is my time to perform for you and show you how much I know. I'm trying to be teacher A, which is just like meet you where you are and make you feel good and walk away feeling confident. And like you learn something that you can bring into your relationship and home.
This sounds as well, a lot of what you do, it sounds practical. There'd be practical things for people,
very
but also a lot of psychology.
Very much so. So it's everything, you know, everything above. And you know, it can be applied in any way that you want. And it's just, people should be having better sex, you know, whether it's with yourself, whether it's with the partner, whether it's with multiple partners. And, you know, I think the first part of that is feeling ownership over what you're doing is really important, and feeling comfortable in your own body, which can take time.
I think this is so fascinating. Do you think, and also it's all COVID safe, so people, you know, 100%. You're doing this. Yeah, so you're doing this in person now.
Wear
so
masks, all, wear gloves, wear, you know, and this is another thing
about But always wore masks and gloves. You. But it's safe. People want to come along.
It's safe. Super safe. It's super safe, yeah. I'm also double vaccinated, so.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, people could lick me if they want.
Okay, that's too far. She went too far. I'm so sorry. Atomic Wedgie wasn't far enough. But the licking. No. Do you think the pandemic and what's happened has changed? I'm not sure if this is a stupid question, but I don't think it is.
No stupid questions, BB.
Okay. It's a whole career based on them. Do you think it's changed people's desires or how they feel about sex? Like you just kind of alluded to, being locked in a space with someone may kind of make you desire them less, but also being on your own, I guess, because, you know, some people have dated, but some people haven't. Yeah. Do you think it's impacted?
I do. And I also have noticed, so we have had a few couples that have come to us with slightly bewildered wives going, well, I never knew that he liked to wear women's underwear, but I've just found out that he does. And I'm trying to support him through this. So we're going to explore this together, which, you know, is great. And that's a really nice way to look at it. You know, some people might freak out a little bit. And I think, you know, in the pro-dom space, there's a lot of guys, most men who come into that space have a lot of shame around their particular sexuality, right? Yeah. Otherwise they'd be sharing it with their partners. So, you know, and I think that there's this illusion that only women have issues in sexuality, and men have a lot of anxiety around sex too. You know, they have to perform. They have to, you know, you're either up or you're not, right? So there's a lot of performance anxiety in that space, and a lot of submissive men, are maybe powerful men. The cliche is actually true. They're quite powerful in their lives. And actually men don't have many opportunities to feel held by somebody else, right? As soon as you're a man and a father and a husband, their expectation on you is to do a lot of things. It's not to be like soft and quiet in any kind of space. And then for a lot of men as well, they're worried about their performance. And if you have a strong woman who goes, lick me here, touch me there, do this like that, they can't fuck up. Right? It's quite relaxing. And equally, somebody who is responsible for everything, the mortgage, the this, the that, the taking the bins out, kill the spiders, whatever it is that men are expected to do all the time, to just have a woman telling you what to do all the time, or just in your sexual space, is just really relaxing. So I think that that's what people get very confused about what being submissive is. Submissive is a complete relinquishing your power to somebody else. And what you get from that is deep relaxation, which as adults, we really need more of that, I think.
I do wonder how the pandemic has changed people. I mean, how will we ever find that out? I guess we'll find it out with the kind of issues people are coming to you with, yeah, and what people will want or what not want, or what they've discovered about themselves, or yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. What does the future hold for you and House of Vixens and the London Dominatrix School then?
Well, so London Dominatrix School is, you know, they employ me as a teacher there. So it's kind of a separate entity for me, but it's something that I'm very passionate about and I love doing. So at the moment with them, I'm actually training up a new teacher as well so that they're not totally reliant on me. But for the moment, I'm headmistress there. And then for House of Vixens, we are looking to really push forward in these beautiful, erotic, interactive film spaces and looking to do a little residency somewhere so that we can keep on meeting people and connecting with people and just putting the beautiful sexual energy out in the world.
You're putting sharing the it energy with everyone. Out there.
So California and hippie.
Well, it's fine. We'll let it go. You said lick earlier, so everything else you say has been mixed. Yeah. It's been so lovely to see you.
So lovely to see you too. And we missed Miranda, but she feels better.
She will be good.
Please send my love. And as we have a live thing going on, you guys have cocktails and a table on me and food, snacks.
Oh, bring dips. We would love that. That would be absolutely brilliant. When are you thinking you might have live stuff? You know,
I'll know more. You know, I think probably the fall is realistic. I know that everybody is like June 21st, and I just want to wait a little bit longer. Yeah. When more people are vaccinated, I want a really safe space for everybody. And I want to be able to touch people again. I really miss being able to just do that without kind of doing that awkward, weird, can I touch you? Can I touch you? So when I can touch people, when people can lick me, BB, when people
yeah.
can lick
me. Please stop saying it.
Never.
How do people keep up with what you're doing? Where are you? Who are you on socials?
On social, we are @HouseOfVixens_official on Instagram. You can find us under House of Vixens at Lily Lafleur on Twitter. And of course, our website, which is houseofvixens.com. And you can join our mailing list and we will tell you about all the things. And we're the least annoying mailing list ever because I basically only email when shit's happening, which I've been told is not the way to do it. But I find everybody else fucking annoying. So I try not to be what I don't like. So there you go.
All the best with everything. All the best. Suddenly you. I'm 88. All the best.
All the best, love.
All the best, sweetheart. You take care. Yes, sweetheart. Lovely to see you.
You too. Bye.
Oh, she's so interesting. And it's, do you know what she was saying about the kind of people that are going to her, and I really kind of, obviously for obvious reasons, she just said she's getting like at the London Dominatrix or so House of Vixens, they're moving into film, that interactive film, which I didn't even have the courage to ask exactly what that means, but I guess the clue's in the title, but it sounds brilliant. But they're, look at their site, Miri, they moved from House of Kittens to House of Vixens. It's just so sexy. It's just so sexy. And when there's a live event, we must go down because it's going to be, you know, there's going to be stirrings and there's going to be snacks. You promised snacks.
Okay.
But she was saying she does the London Dominatrix School and she does pro-dom course and kink and couples courses and really, all really good stuff. And she's getting more and more kind of older single women going there going, I just want to know about stuff. And I love that.
Yeah.
It's the whole perception, isn't it? Is that as you get older, you're just not interested. You're losing, you know, if you were ever interested, you no longer are. And, but I love that not only do women continue to be interested, they continue to be searching out new adventures,
yeah,
you know, and fascinating and new stuff. And I just think that's really encouraging and brilliant. I love it.
Well, I'm hoping that if she ever wants to do sort of like a follow-on course for how a dominatrix can deal with time wasters, people who don't do what they're told, men who are rude and don't leave you a tip, then I volunteer as tribute to run that course.
So yeah.
Okay.
There's quite a downer quality about you, isn't there, sometimes? Yeah.
just like to keep it real, you know.
Keep it real.
Everyone's feet on the ground.
Keep it real, dear. My name is Bebe Lynch.
I'm Miranda Cage.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols from metro.co.uk.
You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Good Sex, Bad Sex with a triple X at the end. You can contact us on Instagram if you've got an idea for a story, or if you want to come on the show yourself, then you could just slide into our DMs.
Please do. Wipe your feet first. Atomic wedgie. What even is it? And we will, God willing, see you next week.